From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his 10th message in this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Our text is chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, which relates the dividing of the waters of the Jordan, allowing the children of Israel to pass through on dry ground. In the course of this message, entitled Crossing Jordan, A Picture of Baptism into Christ's Death, Dr. Cairns is paying particular attention to the Scripture's emphasis upon the Ark of God in the midst of the river as the people passed over. The burden of this message is to show exactly what the Bible means by being baptized into Christ's death. The first thing we noted is that the people's deliverance depended solely upon the Ark being carried into the waters, a symbol of deliverance from the wrath of God through the atoning death of Christ. The people themselves had no power to hold back the waters. That depended completely upon the intervention of God's power. Likewise, our salvation depends in its entirety upon Christ's finished work on the cross. Then we'll see that in the new birth, we become one with Christ, so that we receive the value of His work as if it were our own. Here we come to the glorious truth of imputation. Dr. Cairns will resume the message in a few minutes. First, he takes time to remind us of the truth of the justice of God.
What would you say is most essential to have true knowledge and wisdom? Education? A good environment? Good opportunities? I have no doubt these things are very, very important. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, there's not much talk nowadays about the fear of God. The fear of God is a theme in Scripture that gets a lot of prominence. The Bible tells us that God is greatly to be feared. He's to be had in reverence. God is not some glorified Santa Claus. He's not some senile old man stroking his white beard sitting up there remotely in the heavens. God is our Creator. God is our upholder. God is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. God hates sin. God is angry with the wicked every day. God is the God of absolute justice. God is the God of eternity. And God is the one who will bring sinners down to destruction for their sin. He is to be feared. He is all powerful. There is none can deliver out of His hand. There is none can escape from His grasp. There is none can get from the sphere of His knowledge. He sees all we do. He understands every motive of the heart. Every secret of our soul is open and bare to Him. There is nothing hid from the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God is greatly to be feared. There is this aspect then in the fear of God, that the greatness of God should strike poor, little, wretched, miserable, wicked sinners with such a feeling of His wonderful greatness and their own rottenness that they tremble at the thought of meeting Him in their sin. But in Scripture, the fear of God is almost a synonym for the true worship of God. When God is greatly to be feared, it's not just that He's to be trembled before, that you're in abject terror. Now, if you're going to go on as a sinner rebelling against God, you've every reason to feel terror. But the fear of God is not merely speaking of sinners trembling in terror. It is speaking of sinners recognizing what God says about himself, how he has revealed himself in Scripture, bowing before him, acknowledging him as their God and their Savior, coming humbly and reverently before him to bow before him, bow the knee, confess him as their God and their Savior, and take him at his word. The fear of God is very, very closely related to the scriptural worship of God. Now bring these things together. If you are out of Christ, you'll find it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a terrible and tragic thing for a sinner to meet God unprepared, still in his sin. I could not begin to describe the horrors of a lost eternity, the reality of the lake of fire, what it is to be damned forever. If you're unsaved and you're still rebelling, you've every cause to tremble. But oh, let me tell you that God is to be worshipped. The Bible sets before you the way whereby you can come near to God. Jesus Christ has come into the world to bring you near to him, near to God, bring you and reconcile you to God, destroy the enmity between you and God, remove from you the curse and the wrath of God, and bring you into the enjoyment of all the love and the mercy and the kindness of God for time and for eternity. The fear of God. Will you tremble? And will you be in terror for all eternity? Or will you worship, bow before him, receive him, know him as your God, your Redeemer, in Christ?
Search me, O Lord.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Was it that caused God by His sovereign grace and power to hold the waters of Jordan back at that particular time and place? And the answer is that the Ark of God was carried into the waters of Jordan. And it was as the Ark was carried in that God stopped the waters. Did the children of Israel make any personal effort to stop the flow of Jordan? Did they use their skills in engineering? Did they show their intrepid courage in any way to stop this mighty flowing torrent as it was at that time? No, they did nothing. But when the Ark of God went in, it stopped the flow of the water. And the children of Israel, depending on the power of the Ark of God to keep the waters from crashing down upon them, trusting to that alone, they stepped into the bed of the River Jordan and they walked across it into Canaan. They went safely through Jordan into Canaan solely on the strength of the Ark of God and what it accomplished. Now there's the very first idea in baptism into the death of Jesus Christ. Baptism into Christ is first and foremost a deliverance from the wrath of God through the virtue of the atoning death of Christ. That atoning death is a safe abode for the trusting soul, under which he has the protection of a divine hand, because in that atonement he has the satisfaction of divine wrath. In Galatians 3 verse 13, the apostle puts it this way: Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So how much curse of the law is left for the believer in Christ? None. How much wrath of God is left for the believer in Christ? The apostle answers that categorically. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And as with the children of Israel, so with us. There is nothing of our effort that has gone in to stemming the flood of divine wrath. There is nothing of our effort that has contributed to deliverance from the wrath and curse of a sin-hating God. The Apostle Paul testified in Titus 3, verses 5 to 7, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Notice how these thoughts are conjoined. No work of ours, just sovereign mercy that gives us a regeneration and a renewing. And it's all shed upon us through Jesus Christ, our only Lord and Savior. The result of which is we are justified by grace and made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And that's why the New Testament constantly emphasizes justification by faith. It's not that faith merits justification. It is simply that faith receives the justification that is wrought on the merits of Christ. Faith says that no tool of man will be lifted upon the altar of God. Faith says that no work of man will be superadded to the work of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith admits the lost, guilty condition of the sinner, the state of just condemnation of the lost souls of men under the wrath of a sin-hating God. It admits all that, but it takes its stand where the children of Israel took their stand that day when God called them over Jordan. They took their stand where the ark stood. They put their trust in the ability and in the merit of their ark to keep the waters of judgment away. That's exactly what faith does. It takes its stand in the finished work of Christ. It takes its stand on the sole merits of his atonement. And casting away all hope of any acceptance by God on the ground of what we do, faith lays hold of what Christ has done and stands there absolutely secure. Paul says in Romans chapter 3 verse 28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. He says in Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, or we have reconciliation.
That's the great truth that he constantly preaches in all his epistles, especially in the famous words of Ephesians 2, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Justification by faith, without works, through the merits of Christ. So, what is the first element in the meaning of being baptized into the death of Jesus Christ? It is pictured here at the Jordan. It is a total dependence on the merit of that death for our salvation from the wrath and curse of God. But it means something else. To be baptized into Christ's death means to become one with Christ so that we receive the value of his work as truly as if that work were our own. To be baptized into the death of Jesus Christ means to become one with Christ so that we receive the value of his work as truly as if that work were our own. We go back to Joshua 3 and look at our text. The ark stood in the Jordan. It stemmed the flood. But the people received the value of that work just as truly as if they had personally gone upriver and by some feat of genius stopped the waters. They received a safe passage just as truly through the intervention of the ark as if they had personally stemmed the flood. Now, in New Testament terms, this leads us to the great truth of imputation. Now, that's one of those big words that in most churches is left out because people say they are turned off by great doctrinal terms. I think that is a strange thing, especially here in America. I can't understand it. You see, when you come to America, and this is not a criticism, this is just an observation. When you come to America, I've heard people from various parts of the world pass comment on this. If there are two ways of saying a thing, a simple way with three words of a single syllable each, or another way with mighty terms and roundabout phraseology, most Americans choose the latter way. You want to talk to people here about what's wrong with them when they're feeling a little under the weather. You may laugh at this, but in Northern Ireland they may say, "I have a sore head," which means a headache. Over here, you're likely to be given medical terms about this long. Now, of course, it doesn't make the disease any worse or the condition any worse, but this is what it is. The ordinary man in the street will describe things and he'll think nothing of it. He'll think nothing of it whatsoever. He'll use great terms in the medical vocabulary in his own particular field, whether it's engineering or architecture or art or anything at all. So on average, you reckon to have a better educated congregation in America. Not in every part of it, obviously, but in most parts, you reckon to have a better educated population than you can reckon on in any other part of the world. And yet, for some reason, here in the United States, and I say this more so than even in the backwoods of Northern Ireland, for some reason, Christians have been made to think you can't deal with great theological truth. I don't understand that. This word imputation is pictured for us in what we have just been seeing, the children of Israel being so absolutely safe, crossing Jordan, through the intervention of the ark as if they had stopped the waters themselves. That's the picture of imputation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.